Terry gets a little dud. No call to Mathieu. Foul line jumper. Mango got it! And a slam power dunk by Harrell.
Get your L's up, Cards fans. You're about to enter the Crunch Zone. Here are Crumb's Revenge,
Mike Lindsay,
and U of L Sheriff 50,
Mark Blankenship.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Crunch Zone podcast is back. Mark, what about that lady working for us?
It sounds amazing. I'm happy to be back, Mike.
All right, well, as you all know, we took a year off. Basically, we couldn't get schedules working, but now we have schedules working.
Mike had a baby.
And Mike had a baby. Things like that happen. And then we also added a bunch of new friends to the Crunch Zone podcast. I'd like to introduce a couple. One needs no introduction, but here's his introduction. That boy's good.
What's up, everybody?
And then we've got the lawman in charge of the Crunch Zone website, Keith Pointer.
What's up, guys? Glad to be here.
At That Boy's Good, at Keith.
At,
no, at Bill Sports Law.
At Keith.
At U of L Sheriff 50. At Crumb's Revenge. Folks, it's time to go, and I think there's no better start than Game of the Week.
Game of the Week.
All right, Charlotte. Mark, what do you got?
Well, Charlotte's bad. They're really bad.
Let's go to the next segment.
Yeah. I mean, this is like last year. How many Auburn games did we watch leading up to last year? How much did we know about Auburn, their personnel, what they did last year, what the running back was, who's going to be a quarterback, you know, their head coach? Can you name their head coach? Can you name their quarterback? No. The reason is because there's no buzz about Charlotte at all. The only reason anybody's excited about this is because it's football. And, you know, our internet traffic is, like, incredible right now compared to last year's Auburn game. So I know people were pumped about this. But I just wish that we had, like, Auburn this year. Because Charlotte, they're turnover prone. They don't really move the ball. They don't really stop the ball. And Louisville's going to kill them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to tailgate. It's going to be a big party. And we're going to get football kicked off on Thursday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we got the depth chart. And, you know, it's just not – I don't know how much time it is worth it for us to really spend on the actual 49ers.
Have we named a starting quarterback yet?
Yeah, I think we're going to go with Kyle Bolin.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to bring Lamar off the bench. No.
That's worked before, though.
Certainly.
It would work again.
Yeah, it would very
you
much
know,
work again.
There is no intrigue at all this year in terms – like, we did find out our punter today.
Yeah.
You know, Mason King. And we found out about our place kicker, Evan O'Hara. Very exciting. But, no, you know, Lamar Jackson's absolutely our quarterback.
Well, it was good to hear about Stacey Thomas. You know, just hearing that he's kind of back in the mix more and he's healthy. The other thing that was really refreshing, and I think someone brought it up on Twitter earlier, was that there was no Oars on the depth chart.
Well, there are some, but yeah, not on the first. Not on the first.
Last year it was, I don't know how many Oars were on, 10? Yeah.
It was 10 Oars.
There were 10.
Yeah, with the first and second team, right? Mm. Like, yeah, because like this year there's none on the first line. If you go through it, there's none on the first line. There's a lot on the set line too, and that's okay because it just gives you options based on whatever the coaches are feeling at that time. But the starters are the starters, and that's a beautiful thing.
All right, well, I'm going to ask some questions here. So Charlotte themselves, you know, it's going to be in for her. Bobby said they mix up the defenses, things like that. That's fine. That's good for Lamar. You know, like he's learning to stay in the pocket more. He's got to read that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the big question, of course, is how much does Lamar actually play? So I think he'll play for a half at least. Does he play three quarters? Does he play four quarters? I'll give my opinion after you all.
I mean, that's a good question, honestly, because he's kind of the key to this season. If he goes down – how angry are we going to be if he goes down while we're up 48-0 on a Thursday right. night in August? You know, but as far as the game Thursday, I will say this: I love Thursday night games. I'm on record as saying that it was a big part of my college life. You get to go to a game; it's something to look forward to on work. A game like this, especially, make this your party deck night. Mm-hmm. This is the night where you can drift off up there. You know, be in the seats the rest of the season, but blow out and have a good time. You get to, you work your hangover off on Friday. Everybody mails it in on Fridays anyway. And then you get to enjoy all of college football on Saturday.
And it's going to be a good lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I think you'll see three quarters, the first two quarters, maybe the the first drive of the third quarter. I stole that from Mark Ennis. I specifically asked him that on Twitter this week, and that's the line he gave me. And I think it's accurate. I think you're right. If you leave your guy in and he gets hurt, you're going to look like the dumbest coach in all of college football. I did go back and watch a little bit of Charlotte last year in the game against Kentucky. I mean, and they are the epitome of bad. Mm-hmm. You know, Kentucky hung 58 points on them. So defensively, they're not stopping anybody.
Kentucky is not hung.
Whoa. Patrick Toles, 58 points. Okay. let's just get this around our heads. Now, the thing for me is, I don't want Lamar Jackson to play into the third quarter. For me, like, go back to last year and how many players were playing their first ever game of college football against Auburn. They get to do this now. They get to cut their teeth against Charlotte. So I want to get these young guys in who have been redshirted, who have been waiting for a year. Let's get them out, stretch their legs, you know, so that when they go out there and they're at Syracuse or they're playing against Florida State, that they've been on that field, they get that nervous energy out. So I don't want to see our starters in there very long. I want to see our young guys develop. And I want to, you know, and it's fun to see, you know, what Travion Samuel can do if he's playing, you know, I don't know, 60% of the snaps, you know what I mean? Because last year we only got to see him in specialty situations. We're going to see him more this year for sure, but the wide receiver group is so talented that, you know, I don't know if anybody's really going to steal that much clock except for Jamari Staples and Jalen Smith. So, like, I want to see all these guys in the two deep and the three deep and just see, you know, where's G.G. Robinson? Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a lot of fun to see. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. I want to see them get some points up there. And the other great thing is that they have eight-day gaps in between their first three games, because they play Thursday night, Friday night, and then they come back again Saturday. So you're going to be able to heal a little bit, but it also is like this extra fall camp time, because they can kind of relax, rest their bodies, where everybody else is playing in seven-day gaps. Louisville's going to be fresh going into game four of the season, and I'm excited about that.
Something you pointed out to me a couple of weeks ago, you know, when we were hanging out just drinking a couple of beers and doing the thing up at Saints, is that this year is really important for us to try to make a splash, because we're losing so much defensively. And just like you spoke on that last year, getting all the young guys on offense, getting them reps early, that paid dividends for this season. Mm-hmm. The more blowouts we can get, the more snaps we can get for the young guys on defense. I don't want to come in next year with a junior Lamar that's coming in actually with legit Heisman buzz but has no defense, and we've got to win a shootout every game. I don't want that for our team. Those days of Bobby Ball, I think, are past us now that we're in the ACC. We can win a shootout, but we're not winning 10 of them.
Right. No, and you know, here's the only thing. This is the only thing that will be fly in the ointment would be, we have three games to get ready for Florida State, and it doesn't really help Lamar, we're changing the way he plays, in theory. We meaning not us. But Bobby Petrino and the University of Louisville is asking him to stay in the pocket longer, go against his instinct a little bit, and that is a rewiring that takes a little bit to get used to.
Well, and I think that's something that's going to be of value Thursday night, because the game's not really going to be in question. I mean, here we sit on Monday, and it's not in question yet. You know, I mean, we know what the outcome's going to be. It's just going to be a matter of style points and how's it going to get there. I think that you're going to see Lamar, you have to stay in the pocket. This is a team that you can beat from the pocket. Now do it. You know, and if I'm Charlotte, I'm going to make him beat me throwing the ball. You know, I'm gonna load the box and say, okay, if you want to be a pocket passer, let's see what kind of metal you have. And I think he's going to be clearly quite capable of it. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes loose.
And of the things that Charlotte does well, and there's very few of them, but one of them is rush the passer. They're a pretty good sack team last year. They got a bunch. Maybe that's just what they just sold out on in a lot of big plays. But you know, they do rush the passer. So in one way, it's good preparation for Lamar to kind of get that pressure, stand in the pocket, be smart about when he takes off and hits the check down. But in the other vein, they rush the passer really well, so how do you want to get him hit? Mm-hmm. You know, right. So, you know, he's going to learn a lot more when he goes up to Syracuse week later. He's going to learn a lot more in practice against Louisville's defense than he's going to learn against Charlotte.
Yeah.
So I know it's different.
I agree the defense is so much better, right? Our second team should be able to beat – we should be able to field a second team offense and defense and still beat Charlotte.
Probably.
But I think when the lights are on and the games are on, and if you miss it, it's different. When you miss it in practice, it's still different because it's not really – it doesn't count for anything. So I do think we'll see Lamar for three full quarters. And I'm a dummy, so I could be 100% wrong. But I think the reason why we will is because we only have so many minutes of game time before Florida State shows up, and we have to be guns a-blazing by the time Florida State shows up. So to me, that is just lost practice time in a game environment. It's not that it's Charlotte. It's lost practice time in a real-life game environment.
And I buy that, and a lot of people have said, yeah, Louisville needs to put up style points. They need to put up 100 points or 80 points or whatever. And I disagree. I mean, Louisville beat Florida International a couple years ago, Charlie Strong.
Yeah.
And the 73-0, and Florida International had negative yardage, negative 22 yards. And Louisville fell in the polls.
Right.
So the style point argument with that game alone, and a running clock, okay, that Louisville fell in the polls. So that did not matter at all. And so I don't buy that argument, but I do they just need to put them away, get some young guys some experience, and then just move on.
I don't think there's a point total that you can accurately say that's what they have to score to impress people. It's the fashion in which we beat these chumps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can watch a game. We've all watched games that were 35-0. We've also seen 70-0. Oh. Sometimes you look at that 35-0 game and you go, man, but they beat them boys.
Yeah.
I mean, they took them to the woodshed. It right. was physical. They dominated them. They let them know that you are not in the class of football that we're in. The scoreboard doesn't necessarily indicate that. But the injury reserve, the aches and the bruises, the aches and pains, if you go talk to that other locker room, I mean, they took a legit beating.
Yeah, Sean Watson was famous for the 24-7 butt-whooping.
Yeah.
You know, because we're always like, open up the playbook, let Teddy run it up.
Well, and Steve Kragthorpe was infamous for beating, and in his first game, they won by just a gazillion, and everyone was like, what in the world was that?
Right.
You know, so it doesn't necessarily, you know, the big number doesn't necessarily belie the quality of effort.
Yeah.
And the ability that team has.
Yeah, so there's not much more to really talk about Charlotte. I just, you know, anything of note that you can bring up.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you just have, you know that Stacey Thomas is back. I know we've talked about that. We have those special teams done. The first team defense is exactly what we thought it would be. The one thing that's kind of weird is that Jaquay Savage is not on the depth chart at all. Mm-hmm. Neither is Des Fitzpatrick, but Seth Dawkins is. So, Seth Dawkins is a guy that we think a lot of, but he kind of looks like Devontae Parker in year one or Mario Urrutia in year one, where you could see that they have a lot of talent and ability, but he's got a lot to work on. Whereas Des Fitzpatrick, we're out there watching him in fall camp, and he looks smooth, natural receiver.
His routes are crisp.
Yeah, very crisp routes. So you wonder about their health, because Jaquay Savage is a guy that people have thought a lot of. Maybe he's got some developmental things, or, you know, maybe he's – I don't know. I don't know what the issue might be, but there's just some things that are interesting on that depth chart.
Savage surprised – well, I never thought Savage did anything last year, so I don't want to say Savage that surprises me, because I never saw anything out of him last year to get excited about. But it did seem like he was real positive talk in the spring, and the things were going really good. So surprises me a little bit. But not that much. Now, Fitzpatrick, I think that one surprises me, because they were talking high on him, and certainly he's going to be a star of the future, and
well,
that's
looks
fine.
Great. Yeah.
But I'm just, maybe it's just about learning everything that is Bobby Ball.
Mark, let me ask you this. Is this the first time, and I don't even know the last time, that we actually have depth at returner positions on special teams? Like, we have a couple of guys that if they line up to field a punt, I go, it's not going to bounce off his face mask.
Right.
Not only can he field it, he might get some yards.
Catch it with hand and helmet.
Like, you know, Eli Rogers is going to catch punts for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the thing is like, he never got any yards after the catch. He was just a sure-handed guy. Mm. It was like Charlie Strong. Just get the ball. You know, Jair Alexander, he didn't fair catch once last year, if you go back and watch. It was almost to a fault. He's like, I'm not going to fair catch. If they want to hit me, I'll take the 15.
That was Eli as a freshman, though.
Well,
he'd run guns a-blazing into anything.
But he never really broke one.
Yeah.
Jair, he can go. Yeah. Seth Dawkins can go. Travion Samuel, we saw him do that against Clemson. And, okay, here's the thing. We haven't talked about this. The students win, and I forget how much money it is, like $100,000 or I think it is 100 grand. The student section will win that if they're in their seat and Louisville returns the opening kickoff for a touchdown.
Yeah,
okay. Motivation to stop drinking beer, children.
they're doing this for two games this year. The first one is Charlotte. Now, I'll have to go back and look at the second one. I think it might be the Duke game, okay, because that's going to be a blackout game. That's an unofficial thing. Yeah. It's not official yet, but it's like the rumor.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're definitely, you know, be in your seats for that, because you got Jair Alexander, Travion Samuel, Seth Dawkins, Reggie Bonifant's going to return kicks, James Quick will. It's going to be... but not punts, Keith. Not punts. Kicks.
Okay.
Not
okay.
punts.
Nope.
Okay, for James Quick.
He's having a heart attack.
But it is. You know, it is fun to see all the depth. And one underreported thing, that I think, you know, that I see on the step chart that is kind of crazy is the two walk-ons from Trinity, redshirt freshmen, Tyler Haycraft and Nathan Scheller, that are basically your backup weak tackle and backup center. And you have other options there. If they wanted to use scholarship players, they could use them there. And we've learned that Nathan Scheller has earned a scholarship. I'm sure that's on the way for Taylor Haycraft too. But, like, these guys were right over here at Trinity High School, you know, redshirted last year as freshmen, and they're in the two deep, just like George Bussey was, just like Alex Cupper, just like, I know I'm missing another, Tobiah Hughley right now. Walk-ons on the offensive line at Louisville, making an impact, and these guys are on their way, and I think that's a really interesting thing to watch.
All right. Well, folks, that's it for Game of the Week. Now we're going to head to some program updates.
Program updates.
All right, program updates. Let's run it through. I got a couple things here, but I'm sure this is going to spur on some other things that might have happened in the news. First of all, ladies soccer defeats Toledo 4-0 for the third consecutive shutout in as many wins this year, sitting at 3-0-1. It gets serious, though, as they host Kentucky on September 2nd at 7 p.m.
We want to beat Kentucky.
Always want to beat Kentucky. Always a good time to bring that up.
We have to just, you know, concede in rifling or whatever. The shooting
we don't have a
rifle collegially.
Yeah.
There's like eight colleges.
Should we get a rifle team?
West Virginia and Kentucky just at the top.
And Army.
Every year.
And it always is shameful that Army's not first.
They're always like third.
I don't know. Maybe they're like, we don't use musket guns anymore. All right. So Coach Cordes has the ladies' card starting straight. Strong Volleyball is winning their opening tournament, beating the host, Bowling Green State University at the Hampton Inn Invitational. They're 3-0, not ranked right now, I don't think, but she's doing their usual thing. 12th-ranked Field Hockey Cards took down IU 5-1 on the road, and they'll be traveling to Miami of Ohio for a 2 o'clock Monday match. And the men's soccer team this season started with an exciting scoreless draw versus Butler.
They're just kicking around the park, man.
But they play Quinnipiac, which by the time you hear this, they hopefully have won. And because that's the night we record that they're playing. So go Cards. I hope they beat them down. But it's going to get interesting as their next three will be on the road, the next one being at UConn September 2nd and then eventually at UK on September 6th. Another bluegrass battle coming our way. Got some recruiting things, but anything exciting to say about that, guys?
You know, I don't just think it's nice just to get some games going because, you know, I think last year, you know, we had baseball, but it was basically after the Duke game, Louisville beats Duke, they come in, and then they have the press conference, the postseason ban happens.
North Carolina,
thank you.
We dunked all over North Carolina.
Right. Correct. I'm sorry, I had the wrong Carolina team.
They were number two in the nation and number two in our building.
And, exactly. And after that, the season was over, and, you know, I know a lot of people checked out, you know, and I know that some people came around for baseball or whatever, but it was not the same, and this is just really exciting now to have these games, field hockey games, soccer games, eventually a football game on Thursday night, just to get the, you know, get some new blood. Let's change out this water and just get the season going and put that behind us, and I think when, you know, we go back and look at the postseason ban, that's going to be the best thing about having that happen is that it is in our past and not, you know, staring us in the face or waiting on a Chuck Smert report right now. Yep. That's the best thing about it is that it's over with. We ripped off the Band-Aid. I know a lot of people were upset about it, but in a lot of ways, I think it was the right decision. So, but not to get on that topic, I just want to talk about the new season.
We talk about a little bit. We're allowed to.
I mean, we're still waiting for the Band-Aid to come completely off, honestly. But at least we have a distraction.
Right.
And now we have multiple distractions.
But we've been in the shower, and it's kind of like softened up some, and it feels good. I mean, it's like, I think I can do this. I'm mentally ready.
I'm right there with you. I mean, this has been a hard 10
months. You
should
really support the troops.
You want me to stand up?
You're not going to be the guy they send on the front line. Go.
It's been a really difficult 10 months. I mean, you can't log into social media without hooker jokes. You can't have an opinion on any other school without catching hooker jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll just be honest. I would like for someone to point to the tweet specifically where any one of the four of us, after we knew what happened, what we know so far, where any of us defended it.
Right.
We're not out here saying, oh, we're getting a bad rap. We're saying something bad happened. We'll take our medicine, give it to us. But that doesn't mean that we're no longer allowed to have opinions on other schools when they screw up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that just kind of sickens me, and I'm fed up with it.
It's been great for me because there's all kinds of legal stuff to talk
about,
and everyone calls me, hey, let's talk about the latest investigation or court case, and, you know, that's really bumming me out, you know.
Yeah.
But all joke aside, I'm really happy to move on. You know, I'd like to just be a regular uninformed fan, you know, and giving really bad opinions about football.
Right.
you know, and how much are we going to win by, stuff like that, as opposed to talk about the, you know, the grand jury's process and talk about this and that and tell me about the accreditation and the governor and the board and all those things that really – you know, that's the last thing sports fans want to talk about. I mean, that's why we have sports. We don't have to worry about all that other shit.
Right.
You know, and that is, you know, just kind of, it's just good to be moving on.
Yeah.
Just,
and what makes it even worse is after, you know, guys like Keith and I that got into like, you know, local Twitter later than you all did. You all were already established by the time we came along. And now we started getting, you know, I know it happens to you too. Your DMs hit up and it's from somebody who's in the know and they say you can't say anything but. And then you have to listen. Then you scroll your timeline and watch everyone else speculate and you're like, you couldn't be any further from the from the truth of it.
Yeah. It's good to
shouldn't be stressful.
Know some things, but unfortunately, it's the game. When you learn a few things, you can't share it or you just never hear it again.
Right.
So
right.
Be a caretaker of information. Now, I know people who know such things, and I know there was a buzz about they're not done with their investigation. Well, from what I understand of that is it isn't necessarily a bunch of new things. It could be follow-up things and stuff like that. It's
they're doing secondary interviews with former recruits that signed elsewhere, is my understanding.
So I don't think it's, you know, I do think the vibe is still they're happy with the punishments we've kind of levied on ourselves. Of course, I've always maintained, and a lot of people have too, it's like, but do they really think you're sincere about the scholarships when you said, oh, we're going to land Andrew White, this guy's great? And it's like, nah, we decided we're just going to take scholarship ban this year.
Well, like, wait. But you know what? Damn it, this is what we're in the ACC for. I want that Syracuse and that North Carolina ACC love.
Yeah.
They don't get to take us to the woodshed this time.
That's right.
They don't do it to our peers.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're new and we're still paying our dues, but come on, let's live.
All right, we got a couple recruits just to mention. I know there's quite a few people who know about them, but not everybody. So in football, Corey Reed of Roswell, Georgia, becomes Louisville's highest-rated commitment based on 247. And he's a four-star, widely regarded on most sites. And I counted 10 recruits so far in this class from Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. And we know what Louisville does when you kind of tip the scale in that southern favor. It's not too bad. Also sitting pretty with four-star Justin Marshall, you know, Chris Person on our website. He'll be joining on the blog on this podcast. He writes for our blog. He gets a lot of good information. He says we're sitting very pretty for him, and also really good shot at four-star A.J. Davis from Lakeland, Florida. So as long as we show out, I think, you know, people just want to continue to see Bobby as the same old Bobby. I don't think Bobby's going to have any trouble getting players.
I just don't know how that's possible. I mean, Lamar had Florida wrapped up from the recruiting prospect, you know, from that standpoint. And now he's, you know, I'm talking about Thomas, right?
Yeah.
And now he's down in Lexington. How are we possibly getting all these recruits from Florida if he was doing such a great job?
Yeah, because last year we went the whole signing period without player from Florida, basically. I mean, but
I don't know. Like, here's the one thing. I totally agree with that. And I'm like, well, Lamar's gone, and what do you know? Because we don't just have these recruits. We have them in 17, 18. We got, two back.
I have a really hard time, though, getting excited for that, you know, because it's like, okay, that's nice that you
it's
like
cool.
us. Until Nick Saban says, hey, come play for me and win three national championships in your four-year period.
Right.
I agree. But no, Corey Reed he's kind of the entrance to a lot of other guys in that Atlanta area. And it's an area we recruit really heavily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Justin Marshall's a guy we're also talking about. And he's, you know, spoken with Chris and talked about how Devontae Parker's basically his idol. And that, hey, if you get Devontae Parker to call me or text me or something like that, like, that would be amazing. So it's cool to hear these kids, you know, that recognize some of the former players and, you know, they're watching them in the NFL and they recognize, you know, that Louisville's the program that did that. And Petrino has a great track record of getting these guys in the NFL and looking at a player and saying, listen, Chris Taylor Yamanoa, he could come in here and play wide receiver for Louisville this year. You know, he's that good. But Bobby Petrino's like, you're a corner in the NFL, so you're going to be a corner here because I'm not going to put you in a place and just leverage your abilities for my own benefit, you know. Like, I'm going to put you in the place. Charles Gaines is another one with Charlie Strong. He was a corner in the NFL. He's not going to be he's not going to be a wide receiver in the NFL, but he could have been a great wide receiver in college. So it's good if you can get coaches who identify where you're going to have the most pro potential and then play you there.
Right.
Then that just does so much in recruiting. And if you have a track record of doing that, then these players will trust you and their families will too, and then you can start getting in some really good players.
Well, and I mean, for all the knocks that people can make on Bobby, and Lord knows there's plenty of them that, you know, I mean, it's a fair shot. I love hearing that about him, that, you know, He may be a jerk, but he's your jerk. And right. if you work for him, he's like that boss that you just hate when you're first out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize that what this guy was doing when you thought he was just grinding you down was he was trying to get the best performance out of you.
Yeah.
He was trying to leverage you to be in the best position to have personal success. So yeah. I really like hearing that about Bobby on second go around. Because I was very, very, very... It was very harsh on that hire, and I will publicly retract that now.
Yeah.
I don't think you could have a – none of us could have written up a better game plan for how do you handle yourself in the last couple years that he's been here.
Right.
I honestly thought there was a good chance we would start out 0-3 last year and that we'd see the true Bobby, that it would come out. He didn't throw his team under the bus. Mm-hmm. He continued to be a professional. He answered every press conference. He didn't shy away from any interview. God bless him. Go Cards moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. No, he walked into that Clemson locker room, and he said – this hurts, and he didn't point any fingers, and he just said we're gonna go to work.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he said he was proud of them or whatever, because they fought hard in that Clemson game. I mean, that was a team of freshmen going in there, had a chance to beat the team that played in the national championship game on their home field. They were put in an impossible position, really. I think if you think about it, go back and look at Auburn, Houston, Clemson, and then you look at all the players, even Cole Hikutini and Jamari Staples and, you know, Lamar and all the freshmen that played, but those two guys, they're playing their Jeremy Smith, they're playing their first game of major college football,
mm-hmm.
really. You know, so like Jamari's at UAB, Cole's playing FCS football out there. You know, it's just a different whole ball of wax. Even our veterans were inexperienced. So I just think that was a really tough position. And Petrino, like Joe said, held it together.
All right, let's go to recruiting for basketball. Louisville's Malik Williams reached five-star status on some sites, and Darius Perry, four-star, and he's as high as 53. That's his highest rating on the ESPN rankings. Darius Perry, where he becomes interesting is that Jordan Tucker, who's a highly rated four-star swing forward that we're after, has joined his high school team. So we're hoping there's some influence down there to land yet another guy, because I know Patino's not done recruiting there. We're not going to talk a whole lot about basketball right now, just because football is a thing. But any thoughts on that? Any thoughts about basketball coming up? And no is fine.
No, I really don't. I'm so
laser focused
on Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte is you know, target number one. So basketball is the furthest thing from my mind.
They're
right
so
now.
Boring that their mascot is named Norm.
I remember that.
Norm is the
minor foe, right?
That's right.
Wow. Hard to go after that. Yeah, I'm with everybody else. It's football season. I'm the worst Kentuckian ever. I don't know much about horse racing, and I love football, and basketball is my secondary sport that I watch. Yeah.
And I'll say this. God bless Chris Person.
Yeah.
Because I could not do that job.
They're busy.
I wouldn't want to either. Like,
he likes it.
Some people are really good at it, and they don't come off as creepy. And he doesn't.
Right.
But so many – and I'd say it if I thought he was. You know, I wouldn't show him any love just because we're on the same website.
Yeah.
But he does it good. He's a professional about it. He's not a creeper. But just the – man, I see some strange stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm like, would you want a strange man tweeting that at your daughter?
Yeah.
I don't think you would.
Right. Yeah. Right. He gets some scoop. He has more information than we're allowed to publish. I mean, that's basically if you want to know the level that he kind of brings to the table for us. And we've never covered recruiting. We never wanted to put that much time and energy. We don't have the time.
We
and,
did it because we got Chris.
And
so
and
we're like,
Chris
okay, Chris
is amazing.
Ahead, man.
So
yeah, he's good.
It's great. It's great to have him on. Okay, well that does it for program updates. Now we're gonna do a little segment we like to call Best of the Rest.
Best of the Rest.
All right, Best of the Rest is literally dudes talking.
Just
talk about whatever we want. And there's one thing I want to bring up. It's City of Louisville. I mean, we're not going to talk about things going on in California necessarily. Well, I don't know. We can talk about whatever the hell we want, I guess.
Yeah.
But Louisville FC, I know there's some soccer experience. And Louisville soccer as a university has, you know, done a lot, you know, locally. And now Louisville FC kind of they got to be catalysts for each other. But what was your experience like going down to the Louisville FC?
Absolutely amazing. And I'll try not to ramble and take up too much time on this. But shout out to @JasonUK17. Yeah, he's a UK fan. Good dude. Yeah. Great guy that you can go back and forth with kind of on my post about, you know, how to rival properly. Great give and take. He's got better UK jokes than I do.
That's important.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that you got to be able to take a shot at yourself. So he, for a year now, he's been just heckling me basically about, I need you at a game, I need you at a match, and I need you to live tweet it and help us get some, you know, a little more exposure.
Yeah.
And I wasn't putting him off. It's serious, like, every time they had a home match, oddly enough, I had plans.
Yeah.
You know, like go 3 weeks without doing anything on the weekends, and then the one time you have to. So Saturday night was our first night. Took a couple of buddies with us. Shout out to Biggest Biscuit. He was in the house with us.
You good?
Took us down on the field. Let us do, build a tunnel for the players when they come out. Got to hang out with Bob Valvano for a little bit before the match.
I saw your periscope of the fans. Is that the fans starting it up?
Yeah.
With the megaphones and everything?
Yeah. So apparently it's a big deal. It's most soccer matches, they have drums out, you know, in their fan section. Well, what the Louisville Cougars did, they built theirs with bourbon barrels.
Nice. Mm.
So those are awesome. And I'll give you one more. Mayor Fisher is a season ticket holder. He comes down every game in the second half and bangs the drum for like 20 minutes. And he's got endurance in the upper body, because, man, banging that war drum, like that's work. Yeah. Actually got to meet one of the owners of Against the Grain Brewery. That's the brewery Hamill and I smoke some ribs, take them out, they give us beer.
Nice.
Excellent.
Good exchange.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to have a really interesting post for the Crunch Zone from it.
Cool.
We talked about what I would do is I could be his guest for a soccer match, you know, pregame, the march, postgame party. He'd be our guest for tailgating. He can show me the European or the worldly football experience, and we can show him the how we get down on football.
That's right. I know they're going to build a stadium for the Louisville FC or whatever, and it's going to be in Portland, and I'm kind of liking it at Slugger Field, because it's like, if you go down there, and I haven't been to a game, admittedly, but I've been downtown when a game was about to happen, and the atmosphere is incredible. Like, people in bars. It's kind of like a mini like game at the Yum Center, but it's an outdoor event.
Honestly, the only thing that I can compare it to is an NCAA tournament.
Hmm. Right.
The way that people congregate outside and just do. And also, the soccer chants are awesome, man. That's something we're severely lacking in American sports.
How quickly did that form? Right, Louisville FC's here a year, and they're already that organized.
Yeah, and that was something that was really cool talking to Adam about. He and a large group, I mean, they basically are responsible for getting the Coopers here, because they were complaining about, we want soccer, mm-hmm. and they did it long enough that finally someone said, well, okay, let's start getting
the soccer chants and the smoke? You know how they pop the smoke?
Oh, the smoke's awesome.
Like, how do you get that translating over into football? Like, I know we're talking about Louisville FC right now, but I want that type of atmosphere. It doesn't have to be a copy.
What I told people coming out of it, if you hang out in the fan section of a Louisville FC game, it is essentially like being in the middle of the Oakland Raiders black hole, but with like equity, class, and deodorant. Like, it was rowdy, but it wasn't like in the 200 section at Papa John's Cardinal Station or Stadium.
It was fun rowdy, not dangerous rowdy.
Not, is this drunk guy going to go choke a child?
Yeah.
Like, things pop off at football games.
Especially in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all jokes aside, I mean, you got people committing assaults and leaving people paralyzed in bathrooms. I mean, the soccer crowd, the Louisville soccer crowd, I'm not going to say this is you know, all soccer crowds, but the Louisville FC fans, they know how to party.
Yeah. Well.
What's the city of Louisville, man?
Yeah. I was very impressed, man. They TBG co-signs on their way of partying, and I will be back.
Yeah, they've been averaging like 15,000 people like last year or something like that. The numbers were really high.
Saturday was blistering hot, it was a good crowd. It was a better crowd than I've seen at a Bats game in years.
All right, well, you mentioned barbecue. I'm assuming, Keith, you like barbecue. Mark, I'm assuming you like barbecue.
Of course.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll give you all a minute to think. We'll start with TBG, since he likes to smoke the meat. And I'm talking about homemade foods.
We'll let that one go.
Well, you know.
But we're
that boy good.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Mark has the opinion nickname. That boy is good. So, favorite place to eat barbecue. So now you're not cooking. Now you're like, someone's going to cook for me, because I'm short on time, but I want barbecue.
I honestly don't remember the last time outside of visiting my boys, Jamie, over at
that's okay. Well, you know, you're busy cooking it.
So. Well, I mean, what happens when you and your friends, like, legitimately perfect a couple of recipes? You go out and spend $40 on a meal that's not what you could do in the yard. It's worth the 6 hours.
Yeah.
It's worth it. I mean, smoking meat is not difficult.
Yeah.
I could train a monkey to do it.
That's
it's what
she
said. It's you just got to have the time. But Mama's Chicken Wings, man. They got the best wings in town.
I agree. Mama's Wings, and I do like their ribs. Keith.
They're beef ribs.
You know, I don't get out much for barbecue. But hold on a second.
You're off the pod.
Hold on a second. Yeah, well, that was fun. Thanks for having me. My mother-in-law makes the best barbecue. No, I haven't had yours yet. Yeah. But she makes this great crock pot barbecue that's just fantastic, and we have it for all the big family functions. And it, you know, she's going to teach that to me at some point, but until then, I'll just go over with my plate.
You need to figure that out.
Yeah.
They always are going to teach you one of these days.
And that's right.
Next thing you know, you're she's the ex-in-law, and you have no barbecue recipe. Yeah,
that would be a bad thing. That's right.
Mark?
I mean, I agree with Mama's, but I really also like FABD. You know, I like Frankfurt Avenue Beer Depot. They do a really nice job. They always have the smoker going out there, and the atmosphere is great. You know, you're sitting out there at Crescent Hill,
yep,
drinking a beer. They have a great little putt-putt with some cool stuff going on inside. I'm a big fan of that place a lot. And Doc Crow's, of course, is pretty great, too. Yeah. Because if you get barbecue with their mac and cheese, it's the bomb.
Well, here's the thing. I've never eaten at Feast. Has anyone eaten there?
I haven't done it yet. No.
Good.
I'm glad you mentioned that. ABC? That may be the best place.
Really?
Yeah. Honestly.
Dang it.
And I love and
I want to go there.
And I love Mama's and I love FDKY. Yeah. I'm not a big Mark's fan. Sorry, Mark. It's just very.
I like FDKY too.
Mark's is very just
kind of turned commercial.
Yeah, it's like the McDonald's of burgers. Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's not that
it's
bad. Yeah, you'll enjoy it. It'll be a good meal. But it's not like you feel like you got some specialty going on.
Right.
I do like the McRib.
When is it coming back? When is it coming back?
Yeah, further saying the reason why he's going to be off this podcast.
What's wrong with the McRib?
It's meat cut in the shape of ribs.
I've had one bite of a McRib in my life, and
I can honestly say I've never had it.
It was bad, man. My college roommate, who was a large adult son, would like freak out when the McRib came back. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it was better than student takeout as far as
I don't know what that is. Concerned. They're like, you know those sweatshops, bad working condition? Yeah, well, we're bringing back the McRib. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't understand.
This is disgusting.
The correlation is not right.
There's no ribs in this.
It's just cancer meat.
Yeah.
It's
cancer meat.
Well, sorry, McDonald's. If you wanted to sponsor this podcast, you lost your chance.
But yeah, we're turning FABD, against you. Mama's, yeah.
All right, so Feast is...
Feast,
that's
think,
what I've
I need
learned
to try
is
Feast.
I got to make sure I stop.
Yeah, you got to check that out the next time you're downtown.
Okay.
It's a good, hit it up in basketball season. That's what we did before we went to the Yum. We went down there and grabbed a bite.
Okay.
It was real good.
All right, well, we like bourbon.
Mm. Yeah.
So where is the spot to grab a bourbon?
Well, you know, I mean, I got to say Down One Bourbon Bar. I mean, you know, that place is right next to the Yum Center. They have a ton of bourbon. I know there's some really other great places, too.
They got some good meals, too. If you like pork and bacon.
Yeah, and who doesn't? I don't trust you if you don't.
They have that, what's the one thing, Three Little Pigs, what's it called?
Yeah, Three Little Pigs.
Okay.
They have a great charcuterie, I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Charcuterie board, which is great too.
Sorry I got you off the bourbon, but.
Yeah, no, but you know, for me, like if I'm going to drink some bourbon, I really like, I'm kind of basic. Like I like my Old Forester.
Old Forester?
You know, because like I just feel like it's for the money. It's always like the best, like, you know, because you can go up, you can go crazy if you really want to, but that's the standard to me. I don't know if I'm off base. You can tell me if I am or not. But
well, if you're on the pod next week, you're not.
Yeah.
Keith.
Yeah, I'm 0-3 on that. Mark has taken me down to Down One, and so I know about that, and I've had some food down there. I'm kind of a teetotaler, though, so I apologize about that. So there's three strikes, guys. It was good. Honey, I'm coming home. Next Tuesday, I'm available. Perfect.
That boy's good.
You know, I kind of have a bourbon policy that if I'm drinking it, I drink it at home. Nothing good comes from drinking hard corn water in public.
Right.
I make an exception for national championships, childbirths, you know, things of that nature. We can do a celebratory
momentous
toast.
Occasions.
But if I'm out in public for more than an hour or so and we're drinking, let me get a nice bourbon barrel stout.
Okay.
If I am going to drink, I usually hit up Saints. That's my second home. All They're like family. We went out for Rutherford's birthday Saturday night.
Yep.
They took care of us. Yep. As always, shout out to Bruce and Cliff over there. Y'all do amazing work.
And that's a big FC hangout, too, right?
It's a big FC. Yeah. This year, if you all are looking for something to do on away tailgates, you know, I always shout out the boys over at Red Rage Tailgate. Mm-hmm. They got a deal worked out with Saints where they're going to have tailgating parties out in the
air. Nice.
They may even block off the parking lot, depending on how big it gets.
That way
it can be literal tailgating out in the lot, put TVs outside. They're going to do a lot of good stuff for U of L fans, and they'll put the UK game on the small TV in the corner.
There you go. For me, I like to try everything, so I kind of just keep hopping and keep hopping. Mm-hmm. But I will agree that, you know, Old Foe, I always joke around, like, there's Kentucky bourbon, and Old Foe's the Kentuckians bourbon. Yep. Like, that's the sneaky one. While you all are paying $90, $100 on that thing over there, you don't realize that Old Foe has got what you need. But I will still go out and buy it and be a dummy and buy all sorts of them because I want to try them all and see if I can. I want to be a bourbon snob, but I'm always like, ah, that burns.
Yeah.
That's hot. I really, you know, it's like,
but when
I
you
don't
find
have
a good
the
one, though, you don't need to really bounce around too
right.
much, at least for
right.
me.
True.
You know,
right.
I've got about four bottles that I go back and forth on, depending on the price point that I feel like spending.
What's in your rotation right now?
In the wheelhouse right now, yeah. sitting on the bar, we got a bottle of Angel's Envy.
Yeah.
We've got a bottle of Bullet.
Yeah.
We've got a bottle of Buffalo Trace.
Yep.
And then we've got a 175 of Ancient Age for when you want a pound or where you want a bourbon and Coke.
There you go.
Because at $10 a bottle, man, you can't beat Ancient Age for the on the cheap stuff.
And it's really old.
Yeah. No, I like, obviously Four Roses or Four Roses for sure. Yeah. I've got Blanton's when I want to go a little hoity-toity a little bit. But the Angel's Envy Rye, it's kind of hard to find if I'm going to be kind of a bourbon snob. It's not even really necessarily even a bourbon, but it's a whiskey made by a bourbon company, but it is amazing. They do it in rum cask barrels, and it just kind of comes off with this quality that's like, you talk about how it's kind of got a bite or it's hot or whatever, smooth. And it's really, you know, when you see a bottle of Angel's Envy and it's green, pick that thing up, man.
Angel's Envy is the best bourbon to make a Manhattan with because of the sweet, because they can't, they like you were talking about, is it rum or brandy?
It's barrels? Well, no, it's port. It's port. The regular bourbon is port wine.
Okay, right.
And then the rye
is rum.
Is rum.
Okay.
And that's interesting because rye is always really tough to get sweet. It's like it's always very difficult when you're drinking rye, and so that was, I thought it was a good idea that they did that.
But good rye is amazing.
I'm a dummy.
To me, you know, just like I don't like Basil Hayden.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No.
I mean, I'll drink it, you know.
Yeah. I'm kind of, basil is like one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I mean,
To me, they're like a Tribe Called Quest. I can't remember ever ordering one, but I don't turn it off if it's on the radio.
Yeah. I'm really interested to go to every single distillery in the state, but I just haven't had the time. I've only been able to hit up a couple. I know we're going to Frankfurt soon to see Buffalo Trace, our company is, so
awesome.
It'll be kind of neat to go check them out.
Maybe you can do that this week. All right, folks, that'll do it for Best of the Rest. We're gonna have some closing comments, like Springer's final comments. So you know, this kind of wraps it up for our first podcast back. We want to thank you all for joining. I just want to let you all know before we go to the final comments that we are on Google, we are on Stitcher, Google Play, Stitcher, we're on iTunes Radio. Make sure you queue us up for downloads, because as we get into the season, more games and more highlights and more interviews, we're going to be mixing in other things. It won't be just dudes talking, but we do hope you enjoyed it. Mark, any final comments out of you? We'll kind of run the circle.
You know, I'm happy to have things back in swing here on the podcast and in football and in college athletics in general. The CrunchZone.com's, you know, going to be have a lot of coverage on the website and things like that. And That Boy's Good will have What's Good. On Fridays, Ville Sports Law, Keith Pointer, he's going to have, any kind of legal analysis, and he'll pop in too with some game coverage and stuff like that. But it's going to be fun. You know, we're going to have tailgating. You know, there's a lot of, energy. There's a lot of going on in the first five games here. And so it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Call your shot. What's the record going to be? I think we can do that since we're early on. Let's see.
Sure.
What do you
shot.
Got?
You know, I really would love to say that they're going to go 12-0 in the regular season, but I don't think so. I think they're going to be 10-2. I think they're going to beat Florida State and Houston, and I think they'll lose to Clemson and then some game that I can't identify, like a Marshall or a Syracuse or a Duke or a NC State or Virginia is actually
some. Oh, why
scary.
The hell did that happen?
Yeah, like who did I just watch? Kind of game.
Yeah.
That's really what I think. But so I'll go 10-2, and I think they'll win their bowl game.
Okay.
11-1. We're gonna get Florida State at home. We have been this close to beating Clemson with our slot receiver playing quarterback and a guy with paper for knees. And that's no knock on Will Gardner. God bless you, man. You're tougher than I am.
Yeah.
But we've been that close, and now we finally know who we have for four quarters. I wouldn't be surprised, just knowing the luck of Louisville football, thinking back on like the Rutgers game, you know, the way that it just seems to always work for us. The drop pass against Miami.
Yeah.
Houston or it'll be Houston or Marshall that'll get us.
You mentioned something earlier with Bobby Petrino that's got you excited too about
Man, so how I got to ask the fans this. How excited does it make you to just go out and talk smack to everyone on our schedule when you see how confident Bobby seems to be in the press conference? When Bobby Petrino says, "I like my team," that means he's not playing around. You know, I joked earlier and said that means he's bringing a tank to the Demolition Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is out here running like a 78 Nova.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be good. Bobby doesn't sugarcoat things. Bobby doesn't, you know,
Yeah, he doesn't. He
says what he feels.
He's not a colorful guy.
No, definitely Nova, the one with the exploding gas tank.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, when we hit it, there'll be fireworks and the train horn.
Especially with the tank.
No, this is going to be fun this year. I think it's going to be fun for fans. I'm enjoying working with you guys. I think you all put together a pretty solid crew of Louisville fans that like to joke around, have a good time, but can also, you know, be serious when they need to.
Yeah.
My post will be coming a little early this week, so you got it before the game. It's going to be the tailgating edition.
All right. Look for that on the website, and we're glad to have that.
Yeah,
that
just think of it as like, you know, Hunter S. Thompson at tailgating minus all the cocaine and psychedelic drugs.
Keith Pointer, Ville Sports Law.
Well, I'm real excited just to get out there, you know.
Bobby Petrino has joined the podcast.
It's you know, it's just fun to get the guys on the field. So no, I think it's going to be 11-1. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think perfection's necessarily. I do. Yeah, I'm a fanboy, so that's fine.
Right.
What TBG said a minute ago, we've been just on the razor's edge of beating Clemson with less than talent, and they were arguably at their apex. I mean, you played in the national championship game, so you were right there. I know our upside has been a whole lot more. And I think we're finally starting to achieve that. And when you watch Bobby at the press conference, it's like the kid who's gotten his ass kicked for the last 2 or 3 years, and now he knows karate. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, now we got a little something we're going to bring out for that. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think there'll be something that'll slip up, whether it'll be Houston or I mean, that Houston game's big.
Yeah. Houston and Marshall really scare me because as former Conference USA residents, I know what fans do, and I know how teams get when a Power Five gives them their shot. And good on Louisville. I've seen some nerds accuse us of having a weak non-conference schedule. Whatever, man. Those are two quality programs, and it's good that we're paying it back to people that are stuck where we used to be.
You're going on the road to people, to places that don't get road teams like that.
Exactly.
Right. And it's
and
a big
good for
deal.
Their fan base, man. It's good. Like, Marshall's got to be one of those most frustrating fan bases because they could have very easily been U of L if they'd had a basketball program.
Yeah, if you check the Marshall message boards out, it's the biggest game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go and read, and I've had some people send some, you know, bulletin board material to me, which we'll get up to eventually. But, man, they are really, like, amped up for this game for sure. And I think the Bronco Mendenhall in Virginia, you don't want to go to Charlottesville. I mean, we lost there 2 years ago with a pretty good team, and Virginia wasn't anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to watch out. And that's right at Halloween time. Traditionally, that's been tough for Louisville. So there's some real traps on the schedule. So to say they're going to go 11-1 is, I would love that.
Yeah.
But, man, I just think it's going to be hard.
Part of why I feel that way, though, is because we got a coach right now who never blamed a loss on a video game.
True.
Our coach right now makes sure his boys are ready to play. And look at our team the last 2 years. We have overachieved. We've overperformed. Our defense has kept us in games despite our offense. It feels like everything's coming together right now. And seeing Bobby that cocky, that should be nightmare fuel for the rest of our schedule.
Right. I was just going to say, I think that with Houston, I'm hoping Grantham saw the game plan from the bowl game and said, well, I know I love to rush on everything. Third down,
but here's the thing, man.
But I hope it mix it up a little bit and learn something from that game.
I like Todd Grantham coaching alongside Bobby Petrino, and we're finally going to get to see him call a game, I think, for the majority of the game with a lead.
Yeah.
Think about the old Indianapolis Colts with Dwight Freeney and those guys. They could go if you gave them a 10-point spot, and all they had to do was put a hand in the mud and go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think we're going to see is we're really going to get – it's hard to get to the quarterback when you're playing neck and neck.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to say 10-2 just because – we were 9-5 last year, 8-5.
8-5.
8-5. I just think it's, you know, I kind of look at it like improvement is gradual, and we still got a lot of young guys on the offensive line and a young quarterback and some young receivers, and I know we got a lot of depth and experience on the defensive side of the ball. As far as the wins, I really want to say Florida State, although that one quarter against Florida State every single year seems to blow up in our face in, like, gigantic fashion, and Dalvin Cook hasn't left the program. But I want to say that we are just emotionally sick of that game, and that they are tired of the practice that they have after they lose that game because of that quarter where it looked like they were dogging it and they got destroyed on the field. I think that they are done with that practice after that game, and that motivates them through a home game. Hopefully they don't make it a blackout game. It's a noon game. That would be like a punishment to the fans. It would be hot. Everyone's in black shirts. But I'm going to say 10-2, Florida State win. Clemson loss, and then I hate to be bland like Mark, but like a, you know, oh shoot, we should have won that game loss.
It's the fear of a U of L football fan.
Yeah.
The How did we drop that one?
Syracuse 2012. Perfect example.
I was going to mention Syracuse. I mean, we just have bad juju against them for some reason.
Yeah, so week two, you know, that you come out of the Charlotte game, maybe guys didn't play a whole lot. We talked about that at the beginning. Maybe they go up there and lay an egg. You know, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, I think one interesting thing, and I know you're trying to wrap it up, but, like, what happens if Louisville wins all their conference games, loses late to Houston, but they're 11-1 and they're playing in the ACC championship, win the championship, do they get in the playoff as a 12-1 ACC champion?
Well, it depends on what Houston does, but yes.
It depends on what Houston does. It depends on what Clemson does and Florida State, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that would be a very interesting – I hope it doesn't happen. I hope they win all their conference games so they can win everything, right. But it might be interesting to see.
All right, folks. Well, thank you for joining us this week on the Crunch Zone podcast. We'll be back next week and every week. Don't forget to set us up for immediate download on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Apple,
iTunes.
So we're new. We're getting our legs back under us with the podcast. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll catch you next week. Mark, anything for the fans?
Go Cards.